Every believer has the capacity to live as Jesus lived. Live victoriously over sin, sickness, death, poverty, and every evil works of the enemy. You can transform not just your own life, but the lives of people around you. The more you expose yourself to the words of God, the more you see it flow through you. In this message, Pastor Philip teaches on how you can respond to God's unconditional love for you. Live your life in the reality of His power and be all His Word says you can be.
All right, Matthew 28, quickly. Matthew 28, verse 19, quickly. Take your Bibles with you in your hands and take your writing materials quickly. Matthew 28, verse 7, verse 19. Help me, Duma. What does it say? Therefore, go
and make disciples of all nations.
The Bible says, to go ye therefore and teach. What are you leading from?
Go ye therefore.
Yes.
And teach all nations.
And teach all nations.
Baptizing them in the name of the Father.
Baptizing them in the name of the Father.
And of the Son.
And of the Son.
And of the Holy Ghost.
So the Bible says, to go. Go. What does it mean to go? Go means to live where you are. Jesus' words clearly is to go. Means you have to live where you are. Some of us have to leave our comfort zones. Some of us have to leave our place where we are. We have to leave our high horses. Sometimes you have to go lower than you are because you want to reach out to someone. Jesus left everything that he had. He left everything that he was. And the Bible says he partook of flesh and blood that he may be able to taste death for everyone. He was so passionate about seeing us saved that he was willing to leave all the glory he had. Sacrifice. Go means that you will need to move. You can't wait for them to come to you. You may need to be the one to move in the direction. The Bible says, go into the world. The assignment he gave to the church. Please listen to me very carefully. The assignment of the church is to the world. The assignment of the church is to the world. So he says, go. Matthew 18 verse 11 says, the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. He became like one of us. Jesus was the finest expression of God's infiltration system. Jesus. So when I talk about infiltrating the system, Jesus was God's finest expression of infiltration. How can the God of all the earth, the King of the universe, the maker of the earth and the heaven, wrapped himself up with flesh and hid in the womb of a young woman? Satan didn't know who Jesus was. If Satan knew who Jesus was, then Satan wouldn't need to have killed all the two-year-old boys and below in Bethlehem. He would have had there to kill everyone like he killed everyone. He would have just gone straight and picked up Jesus. But he doesn't know who Jesus was. Jesus hid all through his life. Never. He never disclosed his identity. Never. Once. He never said to anyone what he was going to do. The Bible says, Book of Corinthians, that if the kings of this world or the princes of this world knew that it was by the death of Jesus that man would be saved, they would make sure he didn't die. But that was a strategy of God. God knows how to hide. And so he hid Jesus. He didn't disclose his identity, like I said. He did everything to see that the lost got saved. Give me John chapter 3 verse 16 and verse 17. It's a very popular scripture. We all know John 3 verse 16 and verse 17. But I want it in the Message translation. Do you have it, Dumo? John 3, 16 and 17, Message translation. All right. John 3, 16, Message translation.
This is how much God loved the world.
All right.
He gave his son.
Yes.
His one and only son.
Yes.
And this is why.
This is why.
So that no one need be destroyed.
The Bible says that no one needs to be destroyed. Nobody needs to be destroyed. Not your neighbor, not your friend, not your boss, not your colleague, not your parents. Nobody needs to be destroyed. Continue. What does it say next?
By believing in him, anyone can have a home.
The Bible says anybody can have what?
a whole and lasting life.
Yes, continue what to say next.
God didn't go to all the trouble.
Yes.
Of sending his son merely to point an accusing finger.
The Bible says he didn't come through all the stress of living all that he was and all that he had. God didn't leave all that just so that I can come and be pointing people to their sins and say, look at you, you this filthy, dirty sinner. That was not why he sent Jesus to the world. What did he say next?
Tell him the world how bad it was.
Yes.
He came to help.
He came to help, yes.
To put the world right again.
Yes.
Anyone who trusts in him is acquitted.
Anyone who trusts in God is acquitted, yes.
Anyone who refuses to trust him,
yes,
has long since been under the death sentence without knowing it.
You see, the Bible says that trust in God is acquitted. You know, in law, we say someone is discharged and acquitted. So let me tell you what it means to be acquitted. When a person is discharged, the person could have committed a crime, but is discharged. Are you following my point? It doesn't change the fact that he committed a crime. Are you following me? But when a man is acquitted, he is declared as justified. That means he is not guilty of the crime they said he committed. Are you following my point? So when they say someone is justified, it's just as if he didn't sin. God sees you when you come to Jesus as though you didn't commit whatever they said you committed. All right. So in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, the Bible says that you are the salt of the earth. And I declare that about two. We started this sermon 4 weeks ago. That it's God's intention for us to be able to tell our friends and walk with the criticality and the urgency of the assignment of seeing souls won to Christ. And I want you to see your friends that are not saved differently. Any of your friend that is not saved is going to hell. If you have a friend, your bestie, someone you like spending time with, and they don't know Jesus, when they die, you will never see them again. They were born in hell. And it's a terrible thing to have known that the solution to their problem was in your hands, was in your knowledge, but you never told them. Why did you tell them? You didn't tell them because you didn't want them to look at you one kind. And so it is selfishness. It is selfishness not to want to preach the gospel. You are so concerned about your reputation or about how people see you that you don't mind if this person rots in hell. So far, your reputation is intact. Do you understand what I just said? I didn't mean to point accusing fingers at you, but do you understand what I'm just saying? So if I say, I would have loved to preach the gospel to you, but I don't want you to think I'm an SU. So because I don't want you to think some way about me, I don't mind you being destroyed and going to hell so long as you don't think one way about me. That's what it means to hold back the gospel when it's in your power to share it. The Bible says you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And I started talking about the infinite sin for the last 2 weeks. So let's go quickly. What did you talk about last Sunday? One, we spoke about family. Abby? Yeah, we spoke about family. We spoke about religion. Then we spoke about what again? I spoke about education. I was very critical about the power of education. I said on Sunday that most people lost their children in school. Some of you, it was in school that your parents lost you. The moment you enter into secondary school, your friends began to introduce the stuff that you didn't know before. You understand what I'm saying? And because your parents didn't understand the switch between the ages of 0 and 9, 10, 11, the child needs a father. Between the ages of 13 to 18, the child needs a friend. And the father or your mother didn't understand the switch in your life. That what you need now is not somebody imposing instructions on you. It's someone that you can talk with. And because your parents were not there or available to be talked or conversed with, you found someone in school, a friend, a guy, or a girl who also didn't have a parent who was willing to be open to them. And then both of you, and because she was already or he was already from a dysfunctional home, because some people started getting exposed to sex right from, you know, as early as 9, 10 years old. And so because they're already exposed, maybe because the house help, the parents were careless, and the house help, if it was a guy or the gardener or the gate man was already messing up with the girl. And you know, if I start digging out, there's a lot of worms and mess with this. So people can begin to introduce their schoolmates to what they know, and the parents were not aware. The school is very critical. Education is very critical. And that is why if you have a passion for education, for instance, and you are staying in this place, you are always thinking about education. Don't let the fact that I'm always thinking about winning souls and healing the sick, don't let my healing the sick intimidate you from healing the schools. That's your passion. That's what you're called. And you are strong, as anointed as healing the school, as I am as anointed as healing the sick. And if I'm spending time praying tongues to be anointed enough to heal the sick, you should spend more time praying in tongues to carry the anointing on your life into this education sector. Are you following my point? I am not better than you are because I'm standing behind this pulpit. You are a pulpit. Like my friend would say, anyone that pulls men from a pit is a pulpit. And anywhere you stand, that men have been pulled from the pit, you are one, a pulpit. I spoke about that very clearly, and I spoke about government. You know, I could have spoken a lot about government because of the season that we are in. But it's critical for us as believers to know that we can't sit back, fold our hands, and allow things to continue. I spoke too many things last Sunday. Please, if you're not in church last Sunday, just find a way of getting the sermons and listening to it. In Isaiah chapter 9, the Bible says the government shall be where? So come, Alpha, let me give you an example of what I'm saying. If the Bible says the government shall be upon his shoulder, Isaiah chapter 9 was talking about Jesus, isn't that? It says, of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. He said the government shall be upon his shoulder. So let's assume that Jesus, this is Jesus and the body, and the government sits on his shoulder. Are you following me? Are you following me? Okay, so church, I need feedback this morning. You know you need to help me. Do you? So can you hear me? That's the only way I can know you're not thinking about. Okay, it's been long I said that. Okay, but I just, it's by your, you can be looking at me like this. And you are already thinking about my money. So it's by your feedback that I know that you are here. So the Bible says the government shall rest on his shoulder. This is the body of Christ. Don't forget that Jesus is the head of the body. Is that? Are you following me? The Bible didn't say that the government shall rest on the head. The government shall rest where? Where does the body start from? Where does the burden of the body start from? Eh? No, the neck carries the edge. The burden, you cannot put a burden on your neck. Your neck already carries your head. The burden stays where? On his shoulder. That's what scripture says. So if the burden stays on his shoulder, who is the body? Eh? So where does government rest? Eh? That's why you cannot separate government from church. The Bible says, I will build my church, he said. You see, when he said, I'll build my church, sit down. The original Greek in translation of that was, I will build my senate. He said, for whatever you bind on earth. Is that what he said? So when he said bind, he wasn't talking about demons. The original translation is that whatever you prohibit on earth is prohibited in heaven. Whatever you declare illegal. So you have government authority. Whatever you declare illegal is declared illegal in heaven. Nothing is declared illegal in heaven if the church on earth does not declare it illegal on earth. Are you following me? So God can open his eyes and open it and be looking like this. So far the church keeps looking. Nothing will be declared illegal. The church has the authority. You, the way you are seated, you have the authority to declare sickness illegal in your body. And so whatever you declare, this is whatever you allow. Matthew 18 verse 18. That's the scripture. Matthew 18 verse 18. Give me Matthew 18 verse 18 NLT. Whatever you allow is allowed. Let's have it. Yes? Whatever you forbid
on earth will be forbidden in heaven.
Will be forbidden in heaven.
And whatever you permit.
Whatever you permit.
On earth will be permitted in heaven.
So you see that you can, by silence, permit some things to happen. And the Bible says, because you have permitted, it didn't say you are the one that did it. It said you permitted it. So anything we see done is as permitted as by us. The government, the seat of government is where Jezebel sits. You see, Jezebel understands the power of government. Jezebel would like to marry someone who's in government. And that's why Satan sits in government. Because he can ruin people's lives. He can intimidate with government policies. When he came against Naboth, I don't know if you remember Naboth. She used government authority, government power, government influence to rob Naboth of his inheritance. Elijah was able to battle all the prophets of Baal, but that is religion. When it came to government, Jezebel said, I will cut off your neck. Elijah, with all his anointing, was on his heels. That's how powerful government can be. That government can pursue. The Bible says they caught James and they beheaded him. That's government. It was government that beheaded James. And so if churches and Christians are silent and pretend as if it's not their business, we will see Satan and his cohorts fill up our government places. And then we have had no right to complain, because God will say, whatever you permit on earth was permitted in heaven. All right? Talking about, what is that about last Sunday? I think that's all. So let's quickly go to the next one so that I can wrap this up quickly. Which one should we say next? Let's go to, I have too many things written out here. I don't even know which one to start. This is my notes, scatter notes, like just scattered. All right, let's talk about finance and business. Quickly, finance and business. That's the fifth mountain, I beg your pardon. Finance and business. The finance and business mountain is critical, because that's where the king of Tyre himself, Satan himself, sits on that mountain. And finance and business has nothing to do with money as the core of it. Please follow me closely. I beg you. If anybody is distracting you now, they want to destroy you. Finance and business is critical. We are talking about winning the world. We live in an economic-driven civilization. We live in a world that is driven by economy. We live in a world that is powered by economy. And so people can have enough money to influence government policies. People can have enough money. You can want to buy a land, and the land is going for 2 million. And because someone is able to offer 10 million for the same land you are buying, the person wants to sell the land, so you say it's not selling again. That's how powerful finance can be. Now, the core of finance is not money. The core of finance is control. Somebody say control. Say control. Say it again, say control. Satan wants to control your life. That's why he puts his hands on money. The unit of cost for destiny is time control. Please follow me. Control. If you have enough money, if I ask you now, if you have $1 billion sitting in your account, most of us seated here will not be doing the work we are doing again. If suddenly, as you are seated here now, you hear kaka, $1 billion, enter your account now. Now, as you are seated like this, it will take all the self-discipline. And the moment you are able to just finish this service, that's if you have the patience to wait till service is over. You will quickly go and confirm. You will say, let me first withdraw $500,000 first, or $10,000, to just be sure. When you withdraw it, $10,000, and you saw that the money was $1 billion minus $10,000, tomorrow morning like this, you are going to your office. I will now be asking you, how will you sit waiting for your boss to tell him that some people will just send text message? Oh, yeah, so quick. The core, follow me please, of the mountain for finance and business is control. It's control and it's time control. Time is the unit of life. Anything that takes your time is taking your life. Satan knows. So by observation, Satan knows that a lot of people are spending their time to make ends meet. So 9 to 5, 9 to 10, 10 to 9, whatever time schedule your work is, you are putting in so much time because you want to have money to make your ends meet. And so Satan will make sure that he has control over your time by having control over your finance. In Genesis, the Israelites were going to meet Pharaoh, that they were going, that they were not doing again. Pharaoh said, it's because they have time that they are thinking that they should go. We are giving you people straw to do the work you are doing. Now, you go and look for the straw by yourself. And then you must still deliver on the amount of work you must deliver every day. So why does your work schedule increase and your salary does not? Satan is demanding more of your time. Sure, you are still having time to be praying at home, morning devotion. You are still having time to say you are reading your Bible. I came to you, if I come to your house on a Tuesday morning and you say, Pastor, you know, I just said, I want to spend some time out to just spend some time with God. And I say, how about work? Say, we have put up a system, you know, that brings in money that we don't have to be involved in it. You see that kind of thing? It's what Satan doesn't want you to have at all in his life. It takes time to grow your relationship with God. Do you know that? It takes time. I didn't get where I am today, yesterday. It takes time to trust God. It takes time to learn to trust and to have faith in God. That is what Satan wants to ensure you don't have, by making sure that you are poor and you are always hustling for money. It was not God's design in the Garden of Eden that men will work for money. Adam didn't have to work for money. The Bible says, of every tree of the garden, thou mayest free. Somebody say free. Freely eat. God gave Adam what he wanted. Work was just to keep man producing from his potential. Work was not supposed to be your hands meeting means. No. But Satan found that by observation. So today you have people who can come to church because of time. They don't have time. You go to UK, it's worse. People have 4 jobs, 5 jobs running, trying to make ends meet. They don't even have time for God. Why did Satan create them like that? He created deliberately to ensure that people don't have time for God. And money is a tool. If you have never thought of having money before, you must make up your mind in this service that you'll not be poor. Money is a tool. Money is not an end. I need to correct your mind. Money is a tool. The purpose of money in your life is not to quickly go and buy a new shirt and quickly go and buy a new car. That's not how to know that you are rich. Money is a tool for agenda. Money is a tool for propagating an agenda. When we were young, there was no place we went to, because I lived in Lagos, that you will not find that blue Gideon's Bible. I'm not even that Gideon's Bible. New Testament. Small like this. It cost billions of dollars to print those Bibles and share across the earth. Money is a tool. Satan uses money and God uses money. There's somebody behind the movie industry powering it billions of dollars. Some movies, to make some movies, if you hear the amount of money they spent. And the pastor down the street just cannot even have enough money to pay student school fees. Are you following me this morning? Money is a tool. For those who are in politics, they know that money is a tool. It is in every party that money transfers. Money transfers. Money goes. Money is a tool. Money is a weapon. The Bible says wealth is a defense. Without money, you are open. You are vulnerable. I'm telling you. The Bible says the poor is the servant. Are you following me? Oh, you think I'm playing? The poor is a servant to the rich. Why were they able to buy votes? They even bought some people's votes on credit. They said to them, we are going to drop, write your name here and your bank account. We'll transfer money to you tomorrow. Go and vote this party. Why are people weaponizing poverty? Why is a community of people in this country? And I tell my friends, I said, the elites in this nation have deliberately kept masses impoverished and illiterate. Because poverty is a weapon. And if you are not a child of God that is discipled, you won't understand that the money in your pocket is the money on assignment. Do you think money is for you to be able to be finer? I said last Sunday, I said most of our Christians don't understand the place of these things. God leads them up, and the next thing you are seeing, they are changing where they are living, they are changing their houses, they are changing. You can't see them pour out into anybody, never. That mindset must change. Money in your hand is a tool. And when God sees that you have become a channel for wealth, it will keep pouring money into your hands. My friend was telling me, he said it was a woman that bought the entire chair in Dunamis. Cost about 2 billion plus. One woman. We don't even know her name. Someone said money on assignment. It cost $6 million to roof that place. $6 million to roof that place. US dollars, not Zimbabwe. Money on assignment. Money is to propagate an agenda. The purpose of prosperity in God's perspective is that men will have money to fill the world with the love and the power of God. Many years ago, I think it was about 10 or 15 years ago, I watched a video clip of Pastor Adeboye when he asked in their service, he said, if God is touching your heart to give $1 billion, please come forward. 1 billion, that's about 15 years ago, 1 billion, now it's like maybe 6 or 7 billion. And I saw people trooping out in the same Nigeria, trooping out to give 1 billion. And someone said, hey, they have already brainwashed them. I said, brainwash? Do you know what it means to have 1 billion naira liquid cash sitting in your account, enough to be able to give it out? Do you know how many financial decisions you have to make? Do you know how many sacrifices and critical moves you have to make to have been able to? You cannot brainwash somebody that has 1 billion naira. How you brainwash? How you brainwash somebody that worked, did business, networked, flew over the nations, and did business across continents and was able to amass 1 billion naira in his account? He not yahoo yahoo. He worked. He has a business and he has 1 billion. If you come to him for proposal, see, these people, they know. That's why if you go for proposals and you go, when a man is asking you, so how much you need for that, they're asking you 1, 2, they can't ask you more than 4 questions before they know whether they're going to give you your money or not. They have made enough financial decisions to have been smart. I said, if they are brainwashing them anywhere and they have 1 billion, enough to give, I want to know that place. I will go there and say, please, I brought my brain. Please, don't wash it yet. Soak it. Let water enter. Then wash it for me. Money is a tool, child of God. You can't be poor. When I say you should not be poor, it's not about you being able to afford luxuries. And I don't have a problem with luxuries. Money is a tool. Remember last year election, Good Luck was winning. I saw Dangote's picture with Good Luck. Then the moment he tilted to Buhari, I saw Dangote's pictures with Buhari. You see, people that run the economics of this world, they don't have enemies. Because they understand that finance and money is a tool. I want it to sink into your mind that you cannot be poor. You cannot be poor. You will be able to do more for God with money in your hands than without money. Joseph of Arimathea told Pilate, when the body of Jesus hung on the cross, all the prayers of Peter joined to James and Andrew and all those Bartholomew and Thaddeus, all their prayers was not able to bring down the body of Jesus. It took an influential sick disciple of Jesus who wrote a simple letter to Pilate and says, I would like to have a body of Jesus. The Bible says they released the body to him. How will Jesus Christ have risen up on the cross? Left to these people, he will be there till the third day. Left to those anointed prayer warriors. They will hang him there. It's from that cross he will come down. He told him. It took an influential person who had access to government by finance. What was this I told myself? Offering. Sat on a Saturday evening. I said, God, one day I will fly in private jets belonging to SLC members. I will lodge in hotels owned by them. One day I will eat in their restaurants across the world, in Italy, in Brazil. One day, I will not wear anything that is not made by SLC entrepreneurs. If I wear a perfume, it's SLC member. If I wear a shoe, it's SLC member. If I sleep in an hotel, it's SLC member. If I buy a house, it's SLC realtors. Selling houses, owning estates. I told myself, I made up my mind, I will not pastor a poor church. Because money is defense. It's defense. You are defenseless without it. You are vulnerable without it. Don't explain poverty away. Eat it with every person of blood in you. Who accept it and say, well, you know, at least I shall have a ring, but you still have something to eat. Don't be comfortable around it. Let anger well up from your inside. That you are not able, you see people who are poor, you can't help them. You see people who have needs, you can't help them. Because you are incapacitated yourself. Money is a tool. Money is a weapon. Poverty is a distraction. I'm telling the truth. Poverty is a distraction. You know, I wish I could tell you my personal stories this morning. Poverty is a major distraction. Do you know the kind of visions and dreams are on your mind that you if you dream it small, you cancel it because there is no money to fund it. Do you think you don't deserve good things? You think you don't deserve good things? You are planning the moment you remember money. All the plans scatter. Everything will have been working well, until you get to the point of finance. You will now start reducing. Some of you, your mathematics is superb when it comes to calculation money. Everything is calculation. Even if you travel abroad, if they say this thing is $5, you first convert it to Naira. Alone in Naira. Because it's a terrible distraction. This thing is £20. See, wait. How much is that in Naira? Your age is calculate. Finance is critical. Poverty, write it down. Poverty is a distraction. Poverty is a distraction. Don't accept it. You know, as a church, sometimes we want to do this, we want to do that. And the time I'm supposed to be using to pray, I'm using it to calculate money. That was the day I came up with that quotable quote. That poverty is a distraction. And I pray that God will give you money. You will take money out of money. Say amen with your mind now. This entire month of March, we'll be talking about the principles of kingdom wealth. And don't miss any service.
It starts first with the state of mind. You must first hate poverty. You know, some people don't hate poverty. Oti di baraku, they saw their parents poor. They saw that they couldn't afford a lot of things. And the same way, they have subconsciously accepted the reality of poverty. Number two is arts and entertainment. So like I said, you need finance to propagate the gospel. You need finance. Things are paid for. If you go to Redeem Camp, when I went to Redeem Camp, they have 24-hour power supply. It's paid for. I went to Winners. Winners in Living Faith. They had 24-hour power supply. It's paid for. When they were building Redeem Camp, that old auditorium, they brought the what do you call those things? Those things, those ions on those metals, the name they give them. Eh? Stanches or something. Eh? Trusses. Scaffolds. All those, not the scaffold. Those things are, I think they call them trust or something. Yeah, trust or something. Money is a tool. All these things are paid for. In 2003 or 2002, my other brother just bought a Prado Jeep. Heavy Prado Jeep. I think it was 2000 model or something. Solid Jeep. Black. Because our brothers brought Jeep that we didn't allow anybody to rest again in those streets. When we enter, like, we feed top of the world. So, you know, that day we're going to Redeem Camp. He bought it brand new. The office gave, not his money, official car. Brand new. Prado. Tiaropa. Fine. Leather seat. As we're entering Redeem Camp like this, I will never forget. I just saw they pack like five of that of the Jeep and they put sanitation. I will never forget. Something happened to me that day. Sanitation. That this Jeep are for the sanitation department. People that clean toilets, people that clean the floor. I'm telling you, from that day, I knew that this car is nothing. Money is a tool. It must sink in your mind. You must not be poor. You must refuse it. I must not be poor. All right, I don't have too much time to deliver that. Although, like I said, I'm going to emphasize this all throughout this moment. There's so much to say about it. Arts and entertainment. God wants his children to go into arts and entertainment. If you are here, you play football, don't leave football because you give your life to Christ. That's a sin. There's nothing that you have. Look at me. There's nothing that you have that God did not give to you. If you can dance here, don't leave dancing because you give your life to Christ. You did not make yourself. You did not create your own self. There's nothing that you have that God did not give to you. It is nature and natural for man to always do towards relaxation and entertainment. And so life and entertainment will be a core part of human life. It will always tilt towards entertainment. Listen to me. What they even built as a social network, social people meeting each other, like Facebook, became an entertainment platform. So now on Facebook, people are not even there to be meeting each other like that anymore. People are there to watch videos, comic, skits. And because man will always tilt towards entertainment, art. And that is why we need believers in that place. Do we have comedians that are Christians in the world today, in Nigeria today? Amazing. And they're doing great jobs. If you leave comedy to the children of this world, they are going to turn it into soft porn. And I said it before, that you can hardly watch a comedy now that they are not brandishing somebody's bum or breast. Today, if you open Instagram or TikTok, most of the comedy or skits that you would find are almost sexualized. And that is why we need believers that will bring purity into arts. Let me tell you, Satan did not create anything. He perverted everything. Satan did not create art. Satan did not create art. Satan did not create anything. He's not the creator. Satan has never created anybody. He has never created anything. Satan has only perverted everything. Even what we call fornication is sex outside the boundaries of God. Satan did not create sex. Satan did not create anything. We need believers in that sphere. We need believers using that platform to teach, using that platform to influence. Look at our movie industries. Look at our cartoon world, for instance. If you're not careful, you see that today, you can't even leave your children to watch cartoon carelessly anymore. I used to tell my kids that any movie I've not watched or their mommy I've not watched, they cannot watch. And I don't used to watch movies. I don't used to. So if I've only watched one movie, that's the one you'll be watching. Every day. Every day. I watched one movie of one girl that had wings. What's the name of that movie? Flew. Maleficent. They watch it, their head almost turned. That's the only one. Before you know it, if you ask them to watch ordinary cartoon, there's already vampires. They're already sucking blood. Do you know that they are not having gay characters in cartoons? Subtly. You know, I said the Bible says we should be like as wise as serpents. How did they introduce gay into cartoons? Even in normal movies, we know what they did. They subtly started introducing your acceptance of that mind narrative. They ensure that in the movie, there's a very nice guy that everyone just likes. That guy has perfect character. That guy, very kind. That guy will be a very generous guy. He'll be the good guy, helping everyone. Only that guy is gay. And so, they begin to subtly work on your mind to accept that, after all, they are just like us. It doesn't really matter. It's just their sexual preferences. Why are we so harsh? Why are we so, you know, why are we so wicked? Why are we bullying them? They are just one like us. It's subtle. Movie, subtle. Music, subtle. Music is powerful. That is why if you are a Christian and you are singing, you don't have to sing, "Oh Lord, my God." You don't have to. I am telling you, I'm your pastor. You don't have to sing in church. You can sing in weddings. You can sing. When will we have godly love songs that our couples can dance to in their reception? Everything is not go down low. When are we going to have people who can sing? So because they cannot sing Waymaker, how do you expect them to dance like Waymaker, Miracle Worker? How? It can't work.
Up, up, Jesus, down, down.
It can't work. We need believers in that sphere who are going to sing and tell a lady, I can't wait to get married to you so that I can at least have sex with you. Yes. We are the ones that have the best narrative for what sex is. The world doesn't have it. And somebody has to start singing. It's not everything that pours. Listen to me, Satan is more subtle than you think. Music is powerful. Everything is guided by music. Everything is guided by music. Football. There are some, when the people really love it, there's a sound they used to play. Da-da-da-da-da. You went to hear that sound, like everybody that's what, their blood will go up. That's how powerful. That's why you see, for every World Cup, they release a team song. It drives energy, passion into the blood. It's very powerful. Music is powerful. I know people who lost their virginity because of Celine Dion. I know. When they play that song, "Close your eyes, make a wish, and blow out the can," and that guy would have on the blue light. And their room, they don't used to have chair. And the music just steers the mood. You know that you can use songs to steer the power of God in this place. Listen to me. Not all secular songs are secular. Most songs are spiritual. So you have spiritual songs. I don't have time for this thing I'm doing this morning. You have spiritual songs and you have secular songs. And secular is not the opposite of spiritual. I have a secular job. I was called to bar. I'm a lawyer. That's my secular job. And I'm a pastor. That's my spiritual job. I can be both at the same time. You can be secular and spiritual, but you cannot be carnal and spiritual. And the songs you call secular, they are carnal. They can stir up lust in your heart. You can listen to a song and you get on it. I'm telling you the truth. You are dealing with demons here. There are demons assigned to these songs. But we don't know. And because everybody's singing it, there are some artists. I don't want to mention their names because our church is getting really popular these days. If you just do this, I'll mention their name. There are some artists that are demonic agents in this world. How can somebody sing a song about masturbation and it went viral and people have a dance to it? That's highly demonic. That's highly demonic. There are people who didn't even know much about masturbation until those songs came out. We need Christians here. We need Christians here. I pray that the Lord will put the phones in your hands in Jesus' name. We need Christians. And the body of Christ needs to come to time. I was telling my friends, I said the church has a lot to do. I, as a pastor, I've come to terms with the fact that there may be people who are not sent to be in church with me, who are my spiritual children, but they must be in the judiciary. Who are my spiritual children, but they must be in the hearts. And they must be traveling up and down. They must travel up and down. They must be children of the house and their sent. So a church's maturity is not measured by their sitting capacity, it's measured by their sending capacity. How much of our children can we send? That's how to measure a church's maturity, not about how many people are sitting down there. How many people really can we send into the world? And they'll not mix up there. Music, important. Comedy, important. All is about an agenda. I'll never forget the power of Mount Zion on Nigeria. In this of, what's the other movie? Omo Gilmi, Ishauru. How many of you remember Ishauru? I'll never forget these days. And people will rush out from their offices just to go and rush to watch those things. Some of you, I don't know what I'm talking about, but it's okay. You are Gen Z. Alright, it's not about to be a Gen Z. Gen Z for Christ. Amen. Let me talk about the last one because of my time. My time is up. Media. So what I'm going to do is that I'm going to do this because I did not preach this sermon to my satisfaction. As I'm opening my Bible, I'm seeing a lot of things that I wrote down that I did not say. This week I'm going to be releasing video cast, video pot. I'll teach on them. Somebody gave me that. Who's Adobe? Where's Adobe? She wasn't like giving that hint. She said, Pastor, if you don't finish the sermon, why not talk about it from your office? Do a video, release it, 10 minutes, release it every day. So I'm going to do that to this sermon. But I didn't finish this. There's too many things. I wrote too many things I wanted to say I didn't talk about. All right? So media. Let's go to media quickly. Very quickly. Now, I must let you know that media of all the mountains, please follow me closely, is the strongest of all the mountains. Media is stronger than every other mountain because media powers everything. And the target of the media is your soul. Give me Ephesians chapter 2 verse 2. Help me do more. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 2. Quickly, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 2. What does it say? Ephesians 2 verse 2. Wherein time passed. Yes, continue. Yes. So he calls him the prince of the power of where? You see, the air is stronger than the earth. The air is stronger than the earth. The earth is limited. You see, the earth has boundaries. The earth has places where there's no earth, where there's water. But the air is boundless. And so even if a military coup takes place, the first thing the military does is to take over of the airways. Because he that controls the air controls the earth. The Bible calls Satan the prince of the power of the air. Media is obviously the most expensive of the mountain. It powers every mountain. Every of the mountain will need media. The gay movement, we need media. Politics, we need media. If you know the amount of money that parties used to power, the budget for media is heavy. Our church, it is media that consumes over 60% of our church finance. Because that's how it's everywhere. So everybody celebrate the media department. Amazing people, right? The target of the media is your soul. And the key is in repetition. Please follow me. The key is in repetition. They make you see it every time. They make you see it everywhere. They work on your mind. You see, the person that puts someone on the mind of Lagosians, powerful guy. You live in Lagos, and I follow politics a lot. The guy ensured that every 6 feet you take, you see a poster of Sanwo-Olu. They introduced Sanwo-Olu to the mind of Lagosians, and they destroyed the image of Ambode deliberately by repetition. You see, when I keep repeating the same things, the first day you watched porn was not a problem. But then you kept watching. Then it downloaded from your conscious mind to your subconscious mind. Anything that enters your subconscious mind has entered your life. That means it becomes your default setting. When you are angry, you go watch porn. When you are tired, you go watch porn. When you are stressed, you go watch porn. It has entered your subconscious. For some people, it is buying, because they could have not afforded it. A lot of Nigerians don't have that problem. If they are stressed, they go buy. Everything shopping has become an addiction. It has become you can drive from your house to church on your subconscious mind. Do you know that? That you might even get to church before you know, I've gone to church. Because you switch to your subconscious. And that's why accidents happen. Accidents happen because people drive in their subconscious minds. You can never see a learner have that kind of accident. A learner, you can never see a learner in a ghastly accident. Never. Why is a learner not in a ghastly accident? Because their entire soul and being is in the driving. It takes a level of arrogance, confidence to have a ghastly accident. Learners don't have accidents. You see this thing I said now? I would have loved to shed more light. And that's why we have accidents in life. Because you have become masters. You can never see a learner have an accident. You see, this thing I'm saying is very deep. You can never see a learner in marriage have accidents. Yoruba people say a car can never jam a villager. You know why a car can never jam a villager? Do you know why a car can never jam a villager? Why? The moment you saw the car coming, it takes off. It is you that will say, can't you see me? That can't you see me is why they jam you. Is this not a zebra crossing? Are you a zebra? If it comes by repetition, the strategy of the devil is to keep showing you until it registers into your subconscious mind, then it becomes an addiction. That's the power of media. Images. Listen to me. I've been there. I call it the burden of freedom. And a lot of people in this place today, as I'm speaking, the hands of God is touching you. You are where you are today because you got free too early. You had a room to yourself too early in life. You had the liberty to go out and come in too early. I met my wife as a virgin. And I used to say that even though I thank God that happened, I still think it was lack of opportunity. I never had the autonomy of a room to myself till I married. People were living with me. I was courting. Where will I have place? So there are some of you here who have not tried some things before, and I want to beg you not to try it. Yeah, some of you have not dipped your hands. Don't worry, you can laugh. I know who I'm talking to. Some of you have not dipped your hands into stuff today. And you maybe have made up your mind that tomorrow you are going to go and do it. Because you are curious about how it will make you feel. How it will taste. And that's why you are trying to go and get. Please, I beg you, don't even bother. I know people are hooked up on crack. And are struggling to get out of it. And just one sniff, one taste. And they got hooked up. And they got liberty. I can't even recognize crack if I see it. As old as I am. I can't recognize him. They show me that. I say, is his eyes blocked? Is he? How does he look like? I don't know how he looks like. Somebody was asking on the internet that should Christian couples practice sadomasochism? I said, what's that? So I quickly went to Google it. I don't know the meaning. There's a kind of ignorance that is godly. God doesn't want you knowing everything. There are people here, there's nothing you don't know. There's no style you don't know. You know everywhere. You know where to get what. You know where to get everything. And now your life is hooked. And as much as you are battling that matter, you can't get yourself off it. That's how the devil works. Repetition. Please follow me. I'm begging you, please follow me. It's repetition. You see, the day you say you're not doing again is the strongest and the most difficult day. But every day you say no, it looks as if you're going to die. But every day you say no, the power of that thing is losing grip on your life. Repetition. I know people are hooked up to carrying prostitutes, sex workers on the streets. They can't stop it. They can't see a prostitute on the street. The very first day I saw prostitutes on the streets, I'm telling you, it was doing that way to show me. We were having a meeting, rehearsal. Doing came and said, Pastor, can you believe that there are prostitutes on the road here? I said, it's a lie. Let's go and see them. This is 2017. As I entered my car, she said, slow down. I could not slow down. If I come close, my conscience was already pricking me that, hey, you want to go and be looking at prostitutes? You see, it's as though I have already committed a very heavy sin. So when she said, slow down, I will drive past. So we turned around like 7 times. She says, slow down, let's talk to one of them. So I forced myself, fist front. He was not talking to her. Hey, what's up now? How you doing now? He said, I'm fine. So the girl was kind of, you are a girl now. She now said, no, I want you, how much for a night? Say, my brother. See, when she said, my brother, and I saw that the girl tilted to one look at my face, I zoomed off. Now, you see what I had to force myself to do? Some people are trying to force themselves to stop doing because of repetition. Media is deliberate. Media is expensive. You know how much you're going to buy a screen? This screen, this is they're going to sell it to us for a very good price. So my friend, this is someone in the Australian, he's going to sell it for $12 million. That's our person. To put our post, our billboard outside, cost about $350,000, $300,000 every month. To put our billboard outside there, if you get a $250,000 one, you are lucky. Media is expensive. We need Christians in media. We need Christians operating on this mountain. I'm telling you the fact. Oh God, man, this is so much. I think I should just stop. I can't finish. There's no way. I'll just not make sense. Proverbs 29 verse 15. So tomorrow I'm going to read just two scriptures more, and I'm going to end because of my time. Proverbs 29 verse 15. I'm going to read 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 22. Do you have it? Proverbs 29 verse 15.
The rod and reproof give wisdom.
Yes.
But a child left to himself bringeth his mother.
So stay there. The Bible says a child that you leave to himself, a child that you leave to himself to run his own life will bring his mother shame. Every child you leave to yourself. Like God doesn't want you to leave it to yourself. Sometimes God is even guiding you from stuff. Like I said, it's burden of liberty, burden of freedom. God is guiding you from stuff. And you think God doesn't like you. Or God is not giving you the freedom that you want. It's because God is deliberate. You know, everywhere I went to as a student, the moment I left university, even if I wanted to go to a place where I can just go and be the kind of person I just want to be, another person, I would just know that I would say, hey, Oga Philip, that's good of me. I'm just down the street, though. So that person has already canceled anything I want to do on that street like that. If I enter an office, I'll just find somebody that's going to say, my friend said he knows you. So God ensured that all through my life, I am not left to myself. And some of us are where we are today because we're left to ourselves. I'm a pastor and I deal with people's struggles. And then this person, this thing happened to you because you quickly had privacy when you were not mature enough for it. Bible says a child that left himself will give himself, will give the mother shame. So give me the next scripture I said to you. That read in NLT. NLT. 2 Timothy. NLT. Let's stop with that. NLT. I'm going to close my notes so I'm not tempted.
Run from anything that stimulates youthful lust.
So the Bible says, give me NLT. I want it on the screen. I want everyone to see it. Everyone to see it. Look at that. Everyone. Please, everyone, look at that. Media, I'm waiting for you. NLT. 2 Timothy chapter what?
2:22.
2:22. Quickly. Do you have it? On the screen. Bible says to do what?
Run from anything.
Somebody say run. Say it again. Say run. Say it loud. Say run. So you see, the Bible didn't say walk away. So when you see something that is able to stimulate, you know what it means to stimulate? To steer you up. And that's able to stimulate youthful lust. Any relationship that is able to stimulate youthful lust, Bible says to run from it. Now, when I started courting my wife, I always wanted to sleep with her. Don't marry somebody that you don't want to sleep with. What did I say? Don't marry someone that irritates you. Don't marry someone that you are seeing them. You are just saying, which kind of team it is? Which team it is? Don't marry anything like that. Anybody that you are not sexually attracted to, quote me anyway, I said it. Anybody that you are seeing now, do you know how many times I have to go and hide in the bedroom and adjust my boxer? When I was courting my wife, that's the kind of person you should marry. Someone that you are attracted to. Don't marry someone that's saying, if not for the Holy Ghost, who would have find this kind of person? Don't go and marry that kind of person. It is you and your problem. If not for God that forced me to marry you, I would have. That's your problem. The Bible says to run. Anything that stimulates. So if something has the capacity, conversations have the capacity, you're already flirting on your chart. You see that? Run from people who post stuff. There are people whose status are blocked. I don't see it. Because they're always posting stuff that stimulates youthful lust. The Bible says to run. There are programs, there are movies, there are, what do you call those kinds of people who stay in one house and they are together? Reality shows that stimulate youthful lust. The Bible says not to walk away, not to try to make them stop stimulating youthful lust. The Bible says to run from anything that stimulates. It said instead. That means when you are running from something, you are running towards something. The challenge people that are running away from stuff and they get caught up easily is that they are not running towards anything. And so if you stop watching this, what will you start watching? You must cancel watching with watching. Are you following me? It says instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love and peace, and enjoy the companionship of those who call the name of the Lord. Stop saying that Christian conversations are boring. Stop saying that Christian friends are boring. When you see anybody say that Christians are boring, they want to commit sin. That yes, they want to commit sin. When you see a Christian say this person is too boring, your flesh is lusting after excitement. And that's why you stumble into stuff. Because you were busy looking for something to tickle your flesh, your carnality. When stay with Christians, they are very interesting Christian topics. Have you ever seen me burning a preacher before in this life? Ever? Have you ever come to church before and you say, I'm bored? No. Today, I'm a bit slow. If I want to make, I can make you laugh. There was a place I went to preach. They fell down from their chair. I've just stopped all those things because at the point I put those things to me, they're just laughing. So I stopped. Before, I have story for everything. Story, funny story. I can't even preach a sermon finish. I say, hey, I remember. I have been like that. So when I became a Christian, I just pulled it back into preaching. And I could hardly preach a sermon that wouldn't laugh. It's just I'm trying to be serious. Before everybody laughing. Christianity is not boring. Christian movies are not boring. That thing that is telling you that Christian things are boring wants you to commit sin. How can you have a Christian friend and say it's a boring friend? How? It says, Bible says to enjoy. What does it mean to enjoy? What does it mean to enjoy? Talk to me, church. You gain pleasure from it.
Train your mind to like Christian conversations. Stop sending nude. Train your mind to enjoy godly chats. Train your mind like that. That this godly conversation is a good conversation. It's very enjoyable. What's so fantastic? Oh, wow, great. Tell your mind. Great, amazing, wonderful. Enjoy it. That's how to stay away from the filth of the media of the world. There are people that you start talking to now, before you know you sleep with them. Am I telling the truth? You see, I want to help you. There are conversations that will lead to bed, to sex. Someone says, say media. You know WhatsApp is media. Che, you know. WhatsApp is media. Instagram is media. Facebook is media. Eh? What's that? Twitter? Media. And people have gotten hooked up and gotten stuck on stuff just using those stuff. Now, if you are going to be able to save people from it, you cannot be entrapped in it. You'll be there, but you are not hooked up in it. I know a lot of young people, because I pastor young people. I know a lot of young people are dealing with these matters. And today's sermon, you might say, oh God, pastor, why not just leave me alone? I cannot leave you alone. Because I want you to matter and to become everything that God has designed you to be. So God needs us in the media. I said one day, I want to run up, that when you are on it, you go and carry your Bible. When you carry and read the book of Leviticus, before you understand what God is saying, it will be like a bala blue. It will be bulaba. Stop chatting with an opposite sex when you are on it. You will be on it. You get my point? You will be on it. Why are you laughing? If you are not on it yet, monster, right? Let me see. You are going to be, let me prepare your mind for it. You have hormones running in you. You have hormones running. You are not block. You are not ice block. You are going to be on it in life. But you have to learn how to manage it. Some of you, because you did not manage it well, see now you have sent your picture. It is when you not, it's tomorrow morning, when your mind is not clear, you now saw all the rubbish you were saying. Say, ah! So, you have to know that we have a king sitting on that mountain. And today, young people everywhere are almost becoming victims of it. Right where you're seated, I want you to bow down your heads and say, Lord, empower me for the mountain you have assigned me to. Empower me for the mountain you have assigned me to. That they may shine as lights. Shine as lights. That they may shine as lights. Shine where you are. Somebody pray. Somebody pray. The mountain of media is critical, because that's the only way we can spread the word. We can spread the word from continents to continents because of the mountain of media. The mountain of finance is critical, because that's how we can fund the gospel. The gospel will need funding. We need wealth. Wealthy people powering the gospel from nations to nations. It's very critical. Say, Lord, empower me. Empower me for where you have assigned me. Arts and entertainment. Help me, Lord, not to get mixed up in the system you have called me to salvage. Help me. If you are here, you are a movie person, you are a comedian, you are in this place, you are a musician, you are in this place, you have to pray. Help me. Where you are is very critical. Where you are standing is very critical. And we need you there.
And we need you strong there, shining there. Too many, I'm just giving 2 minutes to pray. Pray. Koba babos kebabra diataya. Andrekos kebarada bakashila bataya. Is somebody praying? Empower me, Lord. Empower me, Lord, for the mountain you have assigned me to. Kekaski balata shande debiata. I will not get mixed. I will not get lost. Come on, pray. Finance and business, government, keradi shata. Is somebody praying? Empower me. Oh, empower me, Lord. Fashion, arts, music, a star shining, singing a song. Kerada Shire. Pray, 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 pray. Help me, Lord, not to get mixed up where you are calling me to. Pray, pray. There's a mountain God is calling you to. There's a mountain God is calling you to. There's a mountain God is calling you to, child of God. You are not here for yourself. You are not here useless. You have a work on your hands. You have a calling on your life. You have an ordination on your life. Say, Lord, help me. Kaba shate. Embarakaski barataya. Oh. Pray, pray. Empower me. Empower me. Empower me, Lord. Empower me, Lord. Empower me. Empower me, Lord. Kebarada shande barada bahaya. Empower me, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name.
Thank you for listening to this message. Meditate on these words and watch how it will transform your life. For inquiries, please call 0909-672-9827 or 0807-548-5997. You can reach us on Instagram and Facebook. Instagram at SL Church NG. You can reach us on our Facebook. That's Supernatural Life Church.